Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to our pilot show. I am Dorian Wallace, and this is my sister, Raina Starr. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, baby.
Oh, it's okay. I'm used to being cut off.
Okay, I'm not going to even ask.
Please don't. It's been a day.
Oh, God, really? One of those, huh?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. First, I would like to start off the show just with a moment of remembrance for the students who lost their lives, three boys who lost their lives in the Ohio school shooting, and also the recent tragedy of all the tornadoes that we've had coming through the country and just kind of blindsided everybody. We'd just like to remember those people for a second here and send out some love and light and just be with their families and hope that they have passed peacefully and quickly, those that had to go.
Absolutely.
It's just, yeah, it's been a hell of a week, a hell of a week.
Yeah, but global warming needs more study too. Yeah.
Oh, what global warming? What are you talking about?
I know. I'm talking gibberish. I know.
No, I know. You're so silly. Al Gore has no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, I'm interested because we're talking about, you know, these tragedies and these children losing their lives for really no reason. I'm very interested to see how this is going to pan out as far as what they believe the shooter's motivation was. I don't want to speculate, but I'm gonna.
Okay.
This is just one of those things that, you know, if they find like a Black Sabbath album or a pentacle in the room, the fingers get pointed in our direction, and I have to take major issue with that. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen or that is what happened. I'm just curious to see if that happens.
Oh, and I'm honestly, I'm so right there with you, because honestly, when they find, you know, Christian stuff in the room or, you know, Christian albums, you don't hear anything about that. It's just automatically, you know, because we are assumed to have worshiped Satan and we sacrifice animals and, you know, I had told you at one point there is a group here in North Carolina that I'm associated with, and I used to be a very active member of when I lived closer to them in Shelby. It's North Carolina Church, Piedmont Church of Wicca.
Yeah.
They were actually bombarded with recorders, and there was one guy in particular, Mr. Brown, the chancellor of the church, could, I'm not sure if that's the right word. I'm sorry, Mr. Brown. But the leader of the church, he could tell you the guy's name, but, I mean, he just viciously attacked the church.
Yeah.
Because they believed that we were responsible for Aisha DeGreeves, a girl here in North Carolina who went missing many, many years ago.
Yeah.
They automatically suspected the Church of Wicca. And it was like, are you kidding me? You know, half of us work in hospitals caring for people. Half of us work in animal hospitals caring for animals. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us have kids of our own. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I have to agree. I have to agree. You know, it's just a scary thing when you can automatically pinpoint a religion of any kind and say, well, everybody in there is guilty, you know?
Yeah, and that's not true. That's not true. You know, I was actually just thinking of a church that I used to go to when I was a kid. Actually, this was before I got into paganism. And it was in California. And I remember the priest, Father Bob, he was awesome. You know, now some, you know, in any religion, you get zealots, you get weirdos, you get pedophiles, but within this Catholic church that I had been raised in, I mean, just Father Bob was like the coolest. I would still, to this day, if I ran into him, I would totally hang out with him. And he would totally hang out with me, knowing that I'm a witch.
Yeah.
You know, he was that awesome. It's like, you know, so I try not to color any one religion regardless if it's from Baha'i to, you know, Pentecostal. I don't care. I judge
any
person.
Oh, don't bring up the Pentecostals.
I'm sorry.
Jeez. You're setting me off. Because as our listeners probably don't know, I was raised by people claiming to be Pentecostal.
Yeah.
When my father found Jesus, I kept saying, please put him back. Please, whenever you found Jesus, please put him back. Don't do anything. It was a horrible, frightening upbringing where we were afraid of words and of music and of dancing. And you couldn't, I mean, it was the most unbelievably bad upbringing. It was just horrible.
I know, and I'm so sorry.
It pains me to think of it. This isn't to say that all Pentecostal people are bad. I'm saying...
Oh, yeah, no.
The specific group I was raised with were some of the biggest lying, cheating, backstabbing hypocrites you could ever want to meet. And I think that's part of why I got into the craft. In a serious way. I mean, there had been rumor about it with my mother, but yeah, I didn't take it seriously. And, you know, my grandmother would call and, you know, she'd know things that she couldn't possibly have known. I didn't put any of it together until her funeral. The day my grandmother died, my aunt told me that they were practicing candle magic. And then I remembered that one of my grandmother's sisters was a tarot reader. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then my cousin started reminding me about things that had happened in our family. And I was like, I didn't realize any of this. So, yeah, I was almost 30 years old before I knew anybody in my family was A, interested, or B, actually practicing any kind of magic. So it was kind of weird.
I can imagine that would trip you out.
Yeah. You know? Strange. Very strange. How'd you start in?
I was on the other end of the spectrum. I actually started because I could see at a very young age, I could see spirits. And I think I've told you about my quote-unquote imaginary friend who wasn't really imaginary.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember him in such vivid detail.
Mm.
You know, but you grow up and you're told, oh, there's no such thing as ghosts, and there's no such thing as this, and there's no such thing as that. And, oh, well, it was probably your imagination. I mean, because I was an only child. So, you know, yeah, I was apt to flights of fancy and, you know, drifting off into outer space. But, I remember one of the biggest acts in my life was I was a huge geek child because my dad was kind of a geek and he still is to an extent. But and I'm aging myself here. There was a show on in the late 70s, early 80s called In Search Of, hosted by Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, I love
Moy. Sorry. Oh my God. The intro song still gives me freaking chills. I love it. Love that show. And the first time I realized witches weren't green-faced hags flying around on brooms was the episode they did of Penny Cabot. She was, you know what? I don't want to age her because I kind of run in her circles, so I don't want to give her age out anyway. But she was being initiated by her mother, Lori Cabot, who basically brought Wicca into the limelight and witchcraft, and not just Wicca, because Wicca, that's kind of a misconception with people who are not in pagan circles.
Yeah.
Wicca is a branch of witchcraft. You know, you've got a lot. At like 5 or 6 years old, I saw a show and I was just like, wow, okay, witches aren't scary. They're not scary people. And I
only when we want to be.
Yeah, I know. Only when you mess with our babies. So I went about, I was raised in the Catholic Church, like I said. And my parents weren't really opposed. They were like, okay, well, this is what you're going to do until you're old enough to choose your own religion.
Uh-huh.
Which I absolutely admire my parents, and I'm very grateful because a lot of people in our circles didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have the openness, and I understand that I'm one of the very lucky ones, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
But even still, even as open as they were, I was still afraid at 16 when I had run into what somebody called a white witch. And now at 38, I understand there is no white or black. It's only gray and shades of it. But I asked her, I was like, I heard you were a white witch. How would I go about learning? And she was very dismissive. And she was like, well, you can go to the bookstore and get a book. So that's what I did.
Helpful.
And yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, I learned, I made mistakes, and you kind of live and you learn. You know, it's better to have a teacher, it's better to have somebody who's been there.
Yeah.
But it's like I didn't have that. And some people don't. That's why, honestly, if anybody ever questions, like, hey, do you know anything about this? Do you know anything about that? Or could you teach me this? I will never refuse them. And if I don't know the answer, I will find somebody who does. Just for the simple fact that I never had a teacher.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm sorry, I'll stop babbling. Give you a chance to talk.
Oh, no, I'm waiting for later, kiddo.
Oh, I know.
Right ahead, because your sister's on a rant tonight.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
You sure you don't want to spill me?
I'm about to do a bitch please moment, honey.
Go for it. That's your segment, honey.
Are you sitting down?
I am, baby.
Okay, good. All right. Apropos of absolutely nothing, you have been working on getting snow in North Carolina. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, bitch,
and it hasn't been fucking working.
Oh, out of the damn desert. I live in a fucking desert. Why have I had snow 3 out of 10 days? More snow than they have seen in this area in quite a number of years, I remind you. Why is there snow in the fucking desert?
Simple answer. Because your sister got pissed off at somebody picking on her gay friend in Arizona. And I sent him snow to prove a point, and I have not been able to stop it since.
Well, bitch, can you please? I'm over this. It's March. I'm expecting 80-degree weather any day now. Come on. You are screwing with... You're screwing with my groove. Come on. Enough. Enough of the snow.
So you need to start singing, it's getting hot in here.
No, thank you. We will avoid doing that.
I would take it. I was shooting for the 15th because the Ides of March, because, you know, I'm a fucking weirdo and I attach to dates that way. And
yes, you
and
do.
Just a, the darker side. It's like, ooh, that would be fun. Anyway. So
getting back on tonight's topic.
Yeah, excuse me.
What I'm finding out here in the desert is that there are a lot of what we call fluffy bunnies.
Ooh.
And love them, don't want to teach them. I'm old, I'm cranky, I don't want to teach anybody magic.
And I can understand that. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I still...
You what?
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I've still got young kids in the house. It's like, it doesn't, you know, more mature people are actually an invite to me.
Well, I mean, you know, my kids had the benefit of being, you know, your kids are a lot younger than mine, and my kids had the benefit of having a wackadoo mother from the very beginning, and now that they're older, they truly understand just how fucked up their mom is, but they love me anyway, which is pretty cool. So, you know, it'll pan out for the best. But the thing is that the kids, my kids, have, you know, not really even followed my path. You would think that, oh, you know, because I'll never forget the first time my older child came home and said, "Hey, Mom, there's a girl in my class, and I told her that you're a witch." And I was like, oh, no, oh, no.
No.
I'd always tell the kids, we live in the South, don't tell anybody about your mother.
And, exactly.
And I said,
please, no.
And I said, yeah, really. And I said, so what did they say? And he's like, oh, she just turned around and said, oh, cool. And that was the end of the conversation. And I went, oh, okay then. I guess
I... Oh, big sigh of relief.
Well, because I had visions, you know, of being in the South and them coming to my door with, like, a rope and some wood to burn. And I'm not talking about barbecue. I'm just saying, you know, it was an interesting experience. And then I found out just how many people of alternate religions actually live in the South. I was quite amazed, I have to tell you.
Well, especially here in the city. I don't care if, you know, anybody listening probably knows that I live in Charlotte. You know, Charlotte is more integrated with, transplants, so to speak. Because, I mean, originally I was born in New Jersey. I grew up in California. I did not fit out in the country, especially being a Californian witch. You know, not pretty. It's like, what?
Well, California, you know, the fact that you're from California in and of itself is a reason why a lot of people would raise their eyebrows.
Yeah, it's a shake and bake country. And you know what, though? Honestly, as much as you would think that California are, you know, there's a lot of liberals out there, you know, because of the Hollywood type, it's only a small portion. It's actually more conservative.
Yeah.
Than you think. And it was very hard to come by other pagans. I only knew one, and I went to high school with him, and the only reason he was a pagan is because his mother was a pagan. You know, I absolutely adore him. I absolutely adore his wife now. But I had only met one other pagan.
Wow.
In California. Yeah, I know. I know. Aside from the one woman I approached when I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know, that was like, eh. You know, her and I believe it was her partner at the time. I don't know. I was very young and I wasn't really going to questions because they were very crotchety women. And they were older. Yeah.
What are
you
trying to say about old crotchety women? I'm going to take resemblance to that comment.
No. These women were in their 70s. And they were not about a 16-year-old asking them fucking questions.
Okay.
They were like, whatever. You know, I believe at one point one of them got it because they made the bread pudding. And with the bread pudding went a brandy sauce. And I believe they got fired for nipping on the brandy. So in an aspect, I was actually very lucky that I didn't learn from them. Because they were not the most upstanding citizens on the face of the earth, let's say, you know.
Yeah.
You're drinking on the job, you got fucking problems, I'm telling you right now. I like my mom, but not that much. Yeah. Speaking of which, let me take a sip.
Uh-oh, she's on the mommy juice, y'all. Watch it.
No, I'm telling you, oh my God, the younger one is getting ready to go through a growth spurt, and one minute he's laughing hysterically or farting on the cat. The next minute, he's in tears. I mean, just, oh my God, he falls apart. And it's like, what did I say? It's like, now I understand how men feel. Like, when we're on our periods, it's like, he just melts. And it's like, you know, you look at him the wrong way. And he's like, I'm like, what did I do? I don't know what you
mean. Wait. What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that men look at us like we're children?
No. You don't understand the meltdown. Like, okay, they seem like they're perfectly fine one second. I mean, because you know Max. He's, and I shouldn't have said his name on the air, whatever. But, you know, he's a very rambunctious, very full of life child. And just to see him crumple in tears,
yeah,
it's just like heartbreaking. Like, what do I do? You know? And it's like, I understand. I've done that to my husband. Like, oh God, especially when I was pregnant with the little one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had we just moved in together, and I was like, oh, I'm in the city now because I lived in the country. I live in the city now, so oh my God, we can get pizza. You know, we can get it delivered. Oh, my God. You know, and I was so excited. And we called Domino's, and we were like, you know, hey, you know, we want this, this, and this. And they were like, okay, well, where do you live? Which was right around the corner. But apparently they had deemed it, you know, not the correct place to live. Which, I mean, it was an awesome apartment complex. And I didn't understand.
Sis, let's pull it back on topic because we're running low on time.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mm. What else you want to throw in there? I'll give you the reins.
You know, we're talking about, you know, having a hard time, and our guests are chatting about how hard it is to find people who are like-minded in certain areas of the world. And the thing that's killing me is that I know exactly what they're talking about. I have to drive 3 hours to find other pagans, or at least other pagans that are public, or at least public enough to, like, be in a place where we can all have a conversation. I mean, when you talk about the fact that I live in a desert, it's a desert of many sources. It's a desert as far as humidity, except for the snow, but I can't find anybody local. I mean, I went to a local shop last weekend. There were 4 rooms for tarot readers. There was a small little place where they were selling oils and books and tarot cards, and that was about it.
Yeah, I really like the metaphysical stuff.
Yeah, the very surface stuff. I mean, you know, it was nothing in depth. I don't know if any of our listeners are familiar with places like the Magical Child or Enchantments, back when it really was Enchantments. In New York, there were real places to get herbs and incense and sage and have your candles anointed and have them created right there on the spot. And it is impossible to find that here. I am dying to open something or have somebody open something or have somebody convert one of the two stores in all of Reno. Unbelievable.
There's only two?
There's two places. There is a place that I don't want to give out their name right now because I didn't get their permission. But there's the main place that I went to here in Reno, and which is the place I just described. And then there's like a clothing store that's kind of new agey, and I'm doing the air quotes. I know nobody can see me, but that's what I'm.
I heard you.
Heard me. Heard
you do it.
Oh, it's, you know, it's kind of insane. You know, where do you go to get the items you need and find the people that you can connect with? It's really difficult. So if anybody has anything on Reno or you know somebody, please let me know about it. You can certainly send a message to my Facebook page. It's rainastar@gmail.com. It's rainastar1@gmail.com if you want to send me an email because you know somebody. But it's absolutely dead out here. But getting back to how we first got in, you know, my mentor lived in Maryland when I was first really serious about learning the craft, and I eventually lived with he and his wife for a while. But it took 12 years of me proving how sincere I was before he took me seriously enough to actually teach me anything. So from age 16 to 28 is how long it took for him to finally say, okay. And then I did a physical year of service, year and a day of service, before I was, fully accepted into that group. But I don't have a problem with that because I know why he was doing it. I was young. My very first attempt at doing serious magic went a little haywire, and I was it was not a good thing. I almost really seriously did undoable harm to someone. But I think I'll save that story for our next show because we're down to 3 minutes, kiddo.
Oh, are we really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We're running short on time.
Yeah, and this I'll put out. I know, I'm not expecting, our listeners now, but if they know anybody, we will gladly accept sponsors. I am actively seeking sponsors so we can get a longer show. If y'all
more
like
organized
to
one.
Yeah, if y'all like to, because I mean, right now I sponsor the show Cobalt Ravens Magical Notions, but unfortunately it's like I'm not pulling in enough. So, any sponsors are more than welcome, and we're down to a minute. I'm gonna write. Hold on a second, Hecate, real quick. Any time, yes, if you'd like.
If you're having a private chat, have that shit privately, please.
Exactly.
I'm trying to talk to the rest of the listeners. tonight's card, y'all, is the Nine of Cups.
Oh, Nine of Cups. Now that's the second time we've pulled cups.
Well, yeah. And I got to tell you, I find this card to be really significant because something very big is going to happen in the next 9 months. And and I don't know what it is yet, but it is going to be something unbelievable. I think there's a good wave coming for our kind, definitely a good wave. And do you remember the conversation we were having earlier about the tools of the trade, as it were, and whether or not they're really necessary after a while? Well, I got to tell you, I heard from my first husband, who apparently is making me a wand.
Yay! You're kidding!
So I may not need tools, but I like them. It's like jewelry, darling. I don't need the jewelry, but I like it.
There you go. It's pretty. Pretty rocks.
I like pretty things.
Well, we've got like 10 seconds left, so I just want to thank you for being with me, as always, my lovely sister. I love you very dearly. And we thank everybody who's listened in to us.
Absolutely.
This week. Check on the page for our next scheduled. We haven't decided the subject yet, so if you have any suggestions, please throw them at us.
Please, we love it.
Yeah, we're just starting out, so absolutely, this is kind of like, you know, we're just family. We're just BSing. You know, obviously, it's not a PG show, but we love you guys, and thank you so much for tuning in today.
We
look forward to seeing you next week. Go ahead. All right, so I am going to go ahead and end this, and love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Raina, I will talk to you in a little bit.
Okay, I'll be waiting on call.
All right. Love you guys.
All right.
Blessed be.